Weekends on the Fanatic. T. Lynam and Joe Torty. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
Very happy Saturday morning to you. D. Lynam and Joe Torty, 97.5 The Fanatic. Dylan McKinnon's producing the program. D, it does feel like it's been a long time since we last got together. I was off in the wilderness last weekend, but I trust that you held everything down.
I tried. Did my best.
A lot's changed, even more than usual, since the last time that we talked. Last time that we talked, the Sixers were kind of clicking on all cylinders.
They have a problem on their hands.
Yeah, there's some stuff going on with the Sixers. I must admit that I am in my third separate session of trying to make it through the entire Jeff McClain, Howie Roseman article, which is substantial.
Yeah, you saw me. I was rereading it as well. You almost wish that it had come out in like three parts.
Right.
One day, 2 day, 3 day.
Yes.
Because I think it would have kept you like, oh, I can't wait to get tomorrow's paper and read about the players.
Right.
You know how it was broken out? And it just seems to me that because you're going on and on and on, mm-hmm. and it's hard to stay there.
Well, and I think that Jeff McClain does a better, if not as good a job reporting on the Eagles as anybody else in the city. And one of the big reasons why is that don't you always get the impression that McClain kind of zigs when everybody else zags? Like there's a very much of a current that goes on where people can tell what the story is with the Eagles and what's going on. And Jeff McClain always seems to have an article that says, hold on a minute, don't forget about this other thing that is also going on.
Yeah.
Right? So the biggest story with the Eagles as it relates right now to me is that Jalen Hurts has seemingly been anointed, right?
By the owner,
right?
That in its own right is... It just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't. It seems very strange, especially considering the options that the Eagles would have at six.
Well, I think that's the reason that he said it, because now you know they're not taking a quarterback.
Right. Exactly. That's cut down for sure. And
unless they're playing some game and they come out of left field with taking a quarterback. But it appears to me when your owner says, I want this guy to be the starter, and that's before the draft where you do have six, as you said.
Right.
That you're going in a different direction.
Yeah, unless that's like, you know, 4D chess level bait to get the owner involved to say that. I agree, dude. It seems like that's the message that they're sending. And that message, actually, I mean, when you look at Jalen Hurts gathering the receivers for offseason workouts and stuff like that, that's stuff that the starting quarterback usually does.
I was just
going to
say,
right?
You know, next thing we know, they'll be on a hunting trip or going to Houston or hanging out at a pool.
And then Jeff McClain swoops in and says, you know, it's not all about the new quarterback. It's not all about the new head coach. Don't forget about this other guy that was the story, you know, 3 months ago. And that's Howie Roseman. So still working my way through that, but we've got to talk about some stuff with that. But I do want to start off with the Sixers because we talked about the direction that they were trending and the way that things have been going for them recently. And it's not as though the results have been horrific, but when you've got two of your biggest pieces unavailable for games, obviously the flow, the chemistry, things like that are going to be uninterrupted. And also there are some bigger picture issues where it's like how many times is this going to disrupt the Sixers, who have largely, I know that Seth Curry's been there, but largely been unaffected by this in the way that some of the other teams in the league have.
This being the COVID-19
correct
protocols.
Yes.
Sure. So obviously coming out of All-Star break, I think you could tell Doc even said on the All-Star break, you know, it's not how you want to start the second season without Embiid and Simmons. But they did, and they actually performed fine with Chicago and then the Wizards. I think the bigger question is, and I do anticipate Ben will be back on Sunday, but, you know, an MRI will be done on Embiid's knee today. And I think that's, you know, What are they looking at? What are they dealing with? You know, hyperextension, but what does that mean? What's happening inside? So, I mean, I didn't like the way it looked. I mean, I know that he walked off, but it was gingerly, in my opinion. And you know, he's it for this team.
Yeah,
there's just, and I know in the past when Embiid has sat, Simmons has elevated his game.
Mm-hmm.
But for where this team wants to go, Embiid is absolutely necessary. I'm not saying that if you have to miss him for some stretch, because look, Durant's been out.
Sure.
And Brooklyn's floating. You know, all they want is for him to be healthy when the postseason starts. And I would say the same for the Sixers. You know, you're going to be in, are you going to have the top seed? I don't know. Depends on how long this guy is out.
Right.
But the most important thing is to have a healthy Embiid when that postseason starts.
Well, and you know, when I watched the Embiid injury, it's strange the way that my mind works, but like I remember watching Tiger Woods' injuries stack up as he changed his swing and changed his body at the same time. And then you started to see things, you know, start to break down knee-wise, back-wise, things like that. And I thought, well, that's a huge guy who's putting on a lot of strength and a lot of torque. I was watching young kids swing the ball, and I'm like, or swing the club. I was like, how come young kids don't ever hurt themselves in the same way that we see these other people do it? And it's because a lot of reasons, but mostly just not enough force, not enough forces going on where a knee's going to explode or a back's right. going to explode or whatever. So we've seen players, like you said, have an injury that looks like that, and it ends up being nothing. But are these players 7'2" and like 280 whatever pounds Joel right. Embiid is, you know what I mean? So that was the thing that concerned me. I thought, oh boy, this is something. And putting aside his injury history, it's just a big guy to have that kind of injury in the third quarter there, and it's a shame because it ended up being a blowout. But
night was not the issue.
No,
it's moving forward.
Yeah, exactly right. So obviously we're waiting for more news there.
Yeah, because Doc really didn't have anything, and I wasn't surprised. They usually do come out and say, you know, I really don't have much to tell you.
Right.
And that, you know, today is the day he will be evaluated, and then we'll see.
Yeah, so the Sixers prospects, like you said, D, short term, they're a good enough team where you're not necessarily, you know, sweating bullets short term. Longer term, I do have questions. It's funny that you brought up Durant, because I found myself thinking that, you know, if this hamstring injury lingers, they're waiting for him to be healthy by the postseason. That's not going to happen. Like, people who have had hamstring injury, those are 6, 7, 8 months of no activity injury.
Right.
Like, that's how you recover. So it's going to be a management thing for Kevin Durant moving forward in the postseason, you know, how he feels and what he's going to be able to deal with. Things like that. With Embiid's injury, a knee injury, that's not really the case. It's not necessarily about managing it. It's about can Embiid go or not. And based on the season that he's been having, you have to think that he is so driven to get back out there. It's just, is he going to be able to? And if so, on what timeline is that? I know that you're not a doctor, neither am I. What is your, do you have any concern that it is like a year done kind of thing, or do you anticipate based on what you saw that he'll be back at some point?
No, to be honest with you, I don't know one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I remember last year, I never dreamed that Simmons' injury was season ending at the time.
Right. Yeah.
So until they tell you what's going on in there, you know, is anything strained, torn, you know, I have no idea. But I will say, back to Durant and the hamstring, when he has played, he's looked fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, I know that can be lingering, but at the times that he's been on the court, he's played well.
Looks like Kevin Durant.
Correct.
Doesn't look hampered or anything like that. Like you said, not a whole lot in terms of updates from the 76ers. Doc Rivers weighed in on how Joel Embiid is feeling at this point.
No, it just felt awkwardly. Thought there was a little contact when he went up to dunk the ball. Thought he fell, you know, with his balance off. You know, I'm not going to speculate. You know, tomorrow we'll know. We'll have all the information for you. You know, hoping for the best. Yeah, I did talk to him. He was in the locker room. You know, he was in pretty good spirits. So let's just hope for the best.
And that was about as much as we got yesterday. I don't know. I know that he'll be evaluated today. I don't know if that means that news will come out today or tomorrow regarding Embiid's status. So we'll certainly keep that keep an eye on that moving forward here. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Yeah, it's replaying on the television now, and it's not something that you want to see.
No, it's the bend back.
Yeah.
Of when they say hyperextension, when you see the replay, it's because they slow it down. It looks worse. But I mean, he was in obvious pain on the ground.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and this was not like, you know, give me a couple extra minutes here so I can catch my breath. That was definitely not what we were looking at.
So let's cycle things back to where it's rosy. And I'm trying to figure out where that is in Philadelphia, because you know what? Like we were talking about not long ago, where the Flyers were playing the best hockey of the season that they've been. Let's face it, they've gone back down to earth a little bit. Sixers, it's been bad recent news, like we said, because of Joel Embiid. The Jeff McClain article is super fascinating. There are things that I want to talk to you about with respect to Roseman's managerial style, which we've always wondered about. There are more details emerging regarding one-on-one meetings versus group meetings.
That seemed more to be more of Jeffrey's style.
That's true, too.
He doesn't like to have a bunch of people together, that he has a lot of single conversations.
So what do you make of that? When you read that,
and I kind of like the way Jeff put it, that you know, if you have everybody in a room together, you hammer stuff out. Let's just take care of all of it right now.
It's true.
And if you're always having these little one-on-one side conversations, you kind of can pit people against each other because they're not there to hear it from the other person.
Right.
And, you know, you can paraphrase. You can do a lot of things when they're not all together.
So if there are no group meetings that happen with the Eagles, I'm shocked.
That's weird.
That's so weird. Because I do understand the value of having a one-on-one conversation, especially where you disagree. Because I've been in that position where, look, I have an unpopular position that I think that I can bring you over to if you hear. But I'm not going to engage the mob. There's not going to be 15 people in a row telling me how stupid my idea is.
Exactly.
That's not what's going to happen. So I understand the merits of having a one-on-one conversation. However, once it could easily turn into, if it is just one-on-one after one-on-one after one-on-one, it turns into he said,
yeah,
this person thinks this.
Said the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, for big issues, like, I don't know, like the Eagles have had the last 2 years, players have team meetings all the time. They get stuff together and everybody gets in the room. It's time to talk about stuff. How does this not happen here?
Well, it sounds to me that that's what happens with your group below you.
Right.
But up at the top with Howie and Jeffrey, that's not how it happens.
Weekends on the Fanatic, D. Lineham and Joe Torti. Sports talk never stops. Listen all weekend to 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
And the other part was, in listening to, nobody would ever say anything negative about Carson.
Right.
And they called that, because if you did, that was your death sentence.
Right. Like, yeah.
I mean, the guy was not playing well. How can you not have that conversation?
And it's fascinating, but I do have to say, D, that it is not an unrelatable deal. Like, at all of our workplaces, there are things that you do not say to the boss.
This is true.
Like, no matter what. And that's the way that it is. Also, I thought it was fascinating, in that same kind of vein, the Lane Johnson stuff. Did you make it to that section of the article by any chance where it's about Howie Roseman's relationship with Lane Johnson deteriorating?
Yes. Well, it seems to me if you ever let your relationship with Howie, or he's not, first of all, I don't think he picks anybody that he doesn't think he can have a good relationship.
Sure.
I think that, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
You cannot do business with just people that are
your friends.
What you like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's silly.
Yeah.
So I think you start out thinking, well, you're definitely in a good relationship. And the ones that go south, and in this case, Lane Johnson's, you know, it becomes a problem.
And to me, this is a huge deal because Lane Johnson's still on the team.
Sure.
Like, I roll my, truthfully, and look, I'm not trying to disparage any media. I roll my eyes when I hear all of these stories about how players on the way out, about how everything deteriorated and stuff, because it is gossip and it's interesting, but it's also ancient history. Like, I don't care if Malcolm Jenkins and Howie Roseman never got along now. Like, right. What value does that have for me?
Or whatever we hear from Carson somewhere down the road.
Right, do I care now?
It's too late.
Exactly. But Lane Johnson, a pivotal piece of this team.
Sure.
It's a fascinating element to it.
Now, the only thing I will say is even if it's all on the way out the door, if over time, and this obviously they spent months on this article.
Yes.
Months. If over time it's painting a picture of a person's behavior.
Of course. Then it plays a role.
Then you got a problem.
Absolutely right.
So, and I think that's the direction this article was trying to go.
And I also tend to think, I don't think these people are perfect, but you know, Mark Cuban, Elon Musk, people that you think of as brilliant business people, who I would think Jeffrey Lurie would like to paint himself among those people because he speaks the language. A lot of the same things that these people say are the things that Jeffrey Lurie says, right? About listening and surrounding yourself with smart people and always being eager to learn and stuff like that, right? I thought a relevant part of the article is, yeah, Jeffrey Lurie loves to listen, but he only listens to one person.
Yeah.
So like this information's getting filtered through.
I could even picture like how Jeffrey sits in his box at the Eagles games.
Mm-hmm.
And how he comes walking down. And
like a movie villain.
Yeah. And Jeffrey's eyes stay forward. The person's talking in his ear.
Yes.
And then he retreats back. And there's Jeffrey with his wife on the one side and possibly Bradley Cooper on the left. And like you could totally picture it.
Absolutely. I thought that was an ideal opening.
Oh my God.
For that article.
Yeah, it was great.
If you haven't read it, it's on the Inquirer. And also, there are mercifully recaps of the article in several different areas. So you can get the Spark Notes version if you so choose.
That, I will say, you need Cliff Notes.
Yeah, you definitely do. You definitely do. It's a big one. But you're right. When you look at it, it paints the picture of an organization not only that is not the gold standard and that is not the peak performance of everything NFL, it is fair to question whether it is a dysfunctional organization or if it's just, you know, everybody has these problems.
I did find it interesting that that Howie has almost free reign to spend Jeffrey's money.
True.
Kind of right. Like the parent who never stops giving the kid, you know, all right, go, here's money, go fix your car.
Yeah, here's the card.
Yep.
Go crazy.
Right.
Yeah.
And because it never makes you have to be responsible or accountable.
Right.
For how you spent it before now.
Now, we called out Howie Roseman's role in the Eagles falling apart for months, but and I think that we were criticized a little bit for being dismissive of calls regarding Howie Roseman's job security. Because we both kind of said it was pretty patently ridiculous. That, like, he was absolutely secure in his job. Like, this article completely validated that because you get the impression that Jeffrey Lurie associates the Eagles, with Howie Roseman. Like, yeah. Howie Roseman is the lens through which he connects with the Philadelphia Eagles. If there is no Howie, Jeffrey, there might as well be no Eagles at this point.
Right. Well, that was one of the lines, too. Jeffrey sees the Eagles through Roseman-colored glasses.
That is the truth. It is crazy. And I thought it was fascinating. I want to get to the Lane Johnson stuff in a little bit too, because in terms of the Eagles being terrible drafting, and by the way, people put, oh, they're average. No, the Eagles are bad. Eagles are really, really bad league average-wide drafting. Lane Johnson's their best draft pick that they've made in forever. Absolutely, like a really long time, maybe since Donovan McNabb. Like that might be the breadth of time. And so to hear the things that come out regarding Lane Johnson, Howie Roseman, among others, fascinating. I want to dive into that. But first, let's talk to Derek on the cell on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning.
How are you?
Last night, I was watching that Sixers game. When I seen Embiid go down, I put the pillow over my face, and I was thinking about Randall Cunningham, Terrell Owens, and everybody else that blew their knee out in the middle of a playoff run. It was just real scary and ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So you think he could be pretty bad, Derek?
At the time I did, when I seen him get up and walk off, I said, all right, this looks a little better. Hopefully he'll be all right. But what you think about bringing in Cousins if he's going to be out for an extended time?
D's available. You like Boogie?
Yeah. Boogie. What you think, D?
I know. I that's a tough one for me.
That's about me. What's his deal? He got bad attitude or something?
Well, yeah, it certainly did in Sacramento.
Okay,
it was one of my worst interviews when he was at the combine. I'll never forget it. To be honest,
wow,
yeah.
But when you gotta tell me about that.
That's a long time ago. I will say this: the last couple of years, obviously, he's been motivated because he needs a job.
Right.
So, my only thing is, I don't know style wise. And again, if it's the right fit for here. Now, I will say Cousins is like a lot of these guys. He's tried to stretch his game. Is he in shape enough to be able to run the floor with these guys?
Oh, yeah,
so that's one of the things about that we really don't say about Embiid this year. Embiid runs the floor.
These ones are good, but he always comes down clumsy and he falls a lot. So when I'm seeing that, I said this guy can't stay up on his feet. You know, I don't understand that.
And I have to tell you, Derek, I used to say that all the time. I thought he had gotten better this year.
This year, I think he had.
But I will say that just in watching the highlights on ESPN, they even pointed out how he fell to the ground in that second quarter.
Yeah. Always falling.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But to answer your question, I'd like to know if you could, depending on, I need to know how long we're talking with Embiid. You know what I mean? Because I will say this, you know, Dwight Howard, the kid, what's Tony's last name?
Bradley.
Thank you. I think that kid, now he's had 3 years behind Rudy Gobert and haven't played Gobert in practice every day. So like the times that he's been called upon, I have no problem with that kid.
You make me feel a little better.
And the other thing I would also say, I mean, he didn't play last night, but you can also play Ben at the five for some.
Right,
so again, I'd take those three choices over. I maybe I should go study Cousins' numbers just to make sure I'm not ignoring.
What about now? Real quick, one of the Eagles, if I can.
Uh-huh.
I think my opinion is I think 90% of these owners meddle, and they do things like Jeffrey Lurie does. I think a lot of them do that. And that's just the way it is, because they own the team and they think they know more than everyone else.
I mean, I think people would definitely say that with Jerry Jones.
I think a lot of them do it. If I owned the team, I would probably pick the guys myself.
Jerry, that's my point too. And thanks for the phone call. I appreciate it. We look at that like it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Like in our bubble, you know, our sports bubble, it's usually a bad thing. It usually is not helpful if the owner meddles in the affairs of the team, let alone the fact that, you know, Jerry Jones actually put together some pretty good moves and done a good job. But if you owned the team, why wouldn't you? Like, is winning and losing literally everything, or is part of the fun that you own the team and that you get
right,
to
but
get
I
be
mean,
involved?
But if you don't know the sport,
Fair enough.
You can educate yourself. But to me, that's why you hire people who run companies. They run companies and make a lot of money because they usually put smart people in the places that are making decisions in that particular department.
So true.
So to me, you know, it is your toy. but you must treat it like the business, any other business. And any other business is you have smart people doing smart jobs.
610-632-0975. It's D. Lineham and Joe Torti. We roll on until 8 a.m. right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.